Welcome back to the Sports Roundtable at the State News. My name is Brad LaPlante with Maddie Warden and Emily Martin of also the State News.
Woohoo.
Ready?
Cool. Woo-hoo.
How green. Are you guys doing? Go green.
Go white. Fired up.
Fired up. So you both are our resident hockey experts at the State News.
Duh.
Of course, right?
Who would
and
have thought?
Michigan State has been on fire. Adam Nightingale with Coach of the Year.
Yep.
Player so awards had Artem Levshinov, Defensive Player, Freshman of the Year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of honorable mentions for players like
Carson.
You know, Isaac Howard, Dorwart, and Augustine, right?
Augustine was on a second team.
There you go.
Nico Mueller was sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship award.
And
sportsmanship award. That's a high one.
He's such a good sportsman.
Carson, Isaac, and
he's just so sportsman.
Gosh, who was it?
So sportsman-y.
He's so sportsman-like.
You know.
It's just Nico Mueller.
Right.
Oh, Joey Larson was the third.
There you go.
For honorable mentions. And then I think Artie was first team all freshman. And then Trey Augustine was second team all freshman.
We love that. So we do love that. Michigan State is coming in to face off against
a school down the road.
Iconic. School down the road for a just interesting matchup that I did not see coming.
Oh, absolutely not.
I don't know how many people actually did see that coming.
I don't think anybody did.
As we've just discussed, I literally had Minnesota written in the document up until I was gonna change it if it changed. But I was like so confident that MSU would be facing Minnesota.
Wrong.
And that was obviously wrong. I also thought that Wisconsin would have, you know, I thought that Michigan State would have faced Michigan this previous weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I thought so too.
We thought that Wisconsin would have taken care of business and beaten
right?
Ohio State. I mean, that's the whole point of having a 3-game series. Is
who
so
wants it more?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And usually the better team, or the team that played better in the regular season, I should say.
Yeah.
Usually they are the ones that come out on top, but in this case that did not happen. And you saw Ohio State, who was, you know, on a really good run. So
yeah, I think all bets were off the table, honestly, for this Big Ten tournament. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, for a little fun fact for you, this is the third year in a row that Michigan has gone to Mariucci Arena and beaten Minnesota, because they're back-to-back Big Ten champs, and then they just beat them for the semifinals weekend. So, I mean, imagine how Minnesota feels. Like, they've had teams that are on top of the world, and they get beat by Michigan 3 years in a row with no chance to win a Big Ten championship.
That's crazy. That's the real rivalry right there.
Yeah. It really is. It's a battle of who can draft more first-round picks and get them on your team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of college hockey, though, right?
Yeah.
Is that there's so many, you know, I mean, you had Michigan with Fantilli, and then he just went to the, you know,
he's gone.
So, that's the thing, you know, with Michigan and Minnesota, they've had so many powerhouse players and teams that, you know, they just end up with NHL talent right off the, you know, and they get trekked off to the NHL. Then they got a new reset, you know, almost every year, but they kind of keep having a huge run of NHL talent. But then you saw this season was particularly unique because you had Wisconsin and Michigan State, who
State has six guys drafted on the team, and one of them doesn't even play. One of them's been scratched a lot. Victor Hertig.
Victor Hertig. And everybody's been talking about Trey Augustine going to the Red Wings.
Like, leaving after this year, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
With our goaltending that we have, pull up Kosa and...
I mean, if he's
get rid
ready,
of Reimer.
Like, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know what would be in Augustine's best interest. Like, would you rather him develop with Nightingale, or would you rather him go to the ECHL?
I don't think he'd go to the ECHL, though. I think he'd go to Grand Rapids.
You'd think he'd go straight to Grand Rapids.
I think he'd go to Grand Rapids, 100%. If he stays another year to develop with, I mean, with Luca and with John Moore and with mm-hmm. Coach DeMichael, he's set for Grand Rapids after that, for sure.
Everybody thinks is predicting at least one more year with, I can with Trey it. Staying.
Okay.
And then he out.
Then he's gone. Which,
good for him.
Which would, you know, and would make sense. And that would, with DePasquo, that would be, you know, that would be good for him because then he would get, and he's a still a solid goalie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's great.
You know, absolutely. So
especially if we build our, like, our young defensive core that we have right now.
Wild.
I mean, I feel like even if we didn't have Trey and we had Luca, we'd be really good either way.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think, and Luca has the huge, you know, he was on, what, that BCHL team that lost three games the whole year, which is crazy.
I didn't know that.
To think about that. Yeah, like I was following him the entire like college commit year that he was in his last season with BCH with the Penticton V's. And his team lost three games and they played 53 games or something like that.
Wow.
Like it was wild.
They went 36-3-1 and he played 40 games.
Right.
So he played every game, yeah.
Yeah, and so it is crazy. And it's not, and to be fair, the BCHL is not the USHL. But, you know, it's still,
I mean, he's playing in a league that has a lot of tough players that are either going to get drafted.
As a goalie, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. To have that kind of record? Yeah.
It's crazy. So, for you guys, can we just, I guess, give me a brief recap of the Ohio State series and... how like that looked? Were you guys nervous that Michigan State wasn't going to pull through, or you know how'd that go? I know that Michigan State, they scored, then Ohio State came back, then Michigan State scored again.
So
how'd that look?
I'm gonna just put this out there. I've never seen a game with that many reviews in a two.
Yeah, there's three.
Yeah,
and they had two goals that were revoked, and then they tried to challenge Nash's goal, I believe, and it stayed on the board. But even Nightingale said post-game, like, that's the most reviews he's ever seen in a game before. Loudest I've ever heard, Munn. Yeah, I absolutely. Honestly, going into it, I was worried. I really was, just because Ohio State has been so hot, and they beat Wisconsin, who was at the top of the Big Ten ahead of us for a second, too. And then just seeing the way that Ohio State has played defensively, it goes to show, like, even our team last year, like, I know that I've talked with people about it. Like, we arguably to people, we could have had the worst roster last year, and we made it as far as we did because of the conditioning that our coaches put us through. And I honestly can vouch and say that that's probably the same way that Ohio State has been. Yeah, there's been more losses, but they played important games how they should play important games.
They pull when they need to.
Yeah, 100%.
I was confident up until, like, the last little bit, because we were only up by one, and Ohio State pulled their goalie in the final minute, and they rushed us right when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, in the final minute, could have been anybody's game if they scored on us.
Yeah.
And I was scared that we were going to go into overtime.
I thought so, too. I was terrified.
But I think...
And overtime, I mean, it is a playoff game, so it is 5v5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a little bit more fair.
Yes.
You know, it's not like it's 3v3 where it literally could go anyway, and the first team that wins possession is just going to be the winner.
Yeah.
I think it just goes to show our defense was very, very strong, even till the end. Like, no, we don't get tired. And I think that's one of the biggest strengths, especially with our conditioning, is it seems like a lot of Big Ten teams get tired quickly. And they show it.
That's how Michigan State was under Dan Cole.
Correct, yeah.
Like, they would play, like, two periods, and then all of a sudden it'd be like they give up seven goals.
Correct.
In the third.
And I know a little bit has to do with what Adam Nightingale's been teaching them. I've noticed in a lot of the press conferences, he's like, frustration's a waste of emotion. And I was literally talking about that with my therapist. I was like...
No way.
I was like, he's no onto way. Something. Like, this is smart.
That's good.
That's good.
That is good.
It's funny.
So I love that.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about the way that his words just kind of play out in the game, and nobody even realizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to a lot of fans, and they're like, this team has had an insane amount of chemistry this season compared to any other season.
Yeah, and I mean, imagine what they can do next year. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I do think, you know, it is a bummer that MSU isn't going to get a one seed at the NCAA tournament. At least it's not looking likely, you know. I think even if they win, it's still kind of a you're gonna kind of have to hope for a lot of things to happen,
right?
Because like it's all based on computer projections and whether or not MSU's win versus Michigan is good enough to overcome. I think Denver might be in that last spot. I haven't checked.
BC, BU, Nodak, and Denver.
Right. So like you're gonna have to hope that I haven't checked it, so to be fair, they're the status of those conference championships. But Michigan State, at least, even if they lose, won't lose a 2 seed. So, which is gonna be fun. But I think this upcoming game against Michigan, first of all, is gonna be crazy. Like ticket, I can't imagine what the prices are.
I just looked, upwards of $1,000.
Yep, I looked yesterday and it was like $1,500.
That is insane. Who is paying for that?
Who is paying for this?
I mean, but like, what is it for students though?
I mean, you had to. It was first come, first serve. Like, Munster's got dibs on tickets first. Okay. And then,
So what are they paying?
Like $10.
What? That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
So then after that, it's across the board. It's anybody's game.
That's crazy.
But also, yeah, and season ticket holders also theirs is valid throughout the tournament too. Which I thought was pretty neat that they don't have to fight for that.
No, that's I mean at least there's that. I think that I don't know. I feel like if you guys could predict that this game goes in, because in my the way I see it, I think it could go either way. Like I mean I've seen MSU lose like 7-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
and
tough.
And then they had a Michigan had a lead. In the game at Yost,
yeah,
right
they were
after.
Up 4-1, and we scored 4 unanswered goals halfway through the second period, and then won 7-5.
And to me, that's a miracle.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Like like Michigan State easily could have gotten, arguably should have gotten swept in that game.
Yeah,
yes. And so right, you know, you're up yeah. that much, like
I
you shouldn't
disagree,
lose.
But.
So I guess what do you guys think is going to happen? Is your expert opinion? What do you think?
I think they can do it.
I think that
they can or they will.
I think
they will. It's all about perspective. And I think I fully with my entire chest can say that especially not seeing money is everything, but with the prices that these tickets are going for,
there's not going to be a Michigan fan in the house.
No.
And I know that they really feed off of Michigan State fans. And mm-hmm. I think with the whole entirety of East Lansing being all eyes on Michigan State hockey, I think it's going
to
be fine.
I think that after the first game against Michigan, too, they definitely learned how to control their emotions a little bit better. Because obviously you see them go on the road to Yost twice and then also take that to Little Caesars Arena.
Which was wild.
Yeah, I mean, and you see... Like, just the way that they played was a whole different team compared to what they brought against Michigan on night one.
I think it's going to be tight up until the end. Like, I was surprised with how low scoring it was against Ohio State, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I thought that was, like, it was an intense game, absolutely. But I didn't expect it to be so low scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be higher
scoring.
It's playoff
hockey.
Yeah, it is playoff hockey. I think it's going to be higher scoring, but I think it's going to be very tight.
I think so too.
Interesting. And yeah, that's crazy. I can't wait. Yeah, wow. And I can't, and it's a game, it's crazy because it's a game that I am jealous for. Like, I'll be watching it on BTN, but I am jealous of people who are going to go to that game and get to see it.
I'm very
excited.
That
is something that I wish that I like had some sort of reason to go to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know? So, anyway, with that said, we're going to move on real quick to that has been our hockey portion. We're going to move on to our trivia portion of the episode.
Oh, no
way.
You guys won't get to see the end, but you guys do get to guess. So, here's the deal. Okay, so the trivia question is about how good do you guys get out? How do you guys feel about basketball?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. It's a great basketball question. In the spirit of March Madness, okay, so in 2021, UCLA was the second school to make it to the Final Four after initially starting the tournament in the first four. UCLA defeated Michigan State in its first game, as we know, and then went on to lose as an 11 seed to Gonzaga in the semifinal in the Frozen Four. Who was the first team to... Who was the first team to go from the first four to the final four?
The first four out to the final four?
Yeah, the first four to the final four.
Because UCLA was the second
school. UCLA was the second school.
Can I get a hint?
Can I call somebody?
Can I phone a friend?
What would your hint be? I don't know that the hint I can think of would be good enough.
What conference? Color?
Let's see.
You're so funny.
They are in the... This isn't going to help you. They are in the Atlantic 10 conference.
Oregon.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah. But
Boston College.
I almost guessed that.
No, the Boston College. Oh, no, never mind. I'm stupid. Never mind. I'm thinking of hockey conferences.
Oh, okay.
Was it UVM? Vermont?
Was it UMass? You're just listening. Come on. Okay.
I'm going to say UMass.
UMass.
No. No, that is final answer.
No. Was it Albany?
Mm-mm.
Was it Maine?
Mm-mm.
How about New Hampshire?
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're cutting to commercial. We will be right back with men's basketball coverage. Welcome back to the Sports Roundtable podcast with from the State News. Now we got on Luke Joseph and PJ Pfeiffer from the sports desk. PJ, obviously, the sports editor for the semester, and Luke, the resident basketball expert. Love to have him on, of course. Welcome back to the show, guys. How you guys feeling?
Feeling good.
Feeling good?
Feeling good.
Feeling nervous for tomorrow, but sure.
Feeling nervous good. For tomorrow. I got you. First things first, we got... just a reminder that the trivia question will be at the end. No cheating. Do not look at the trivia question before, or the answer to it before we reveal. And then you guys might just earn a point or two or something. Or I'll keep track of these. And then at the end of the year, you'll just be the winner or something. Okay.
All right.
I don't know. Whoever gets the most trivia points wins. A new car, maybe.
Oh,
you know,
I need a car.
Please.
I need a car.
Perfect. There you go. So the men, by the way, I just want to preface this because, so we know the bracket now, right? Michigan State and Michigan, both 9 seeds, somehow. I thought the women would actually be higher. I don't know much, though, about the women's field. I just thought that they were doing pretty good. And their bar was so low that I just kind of, just thought they'd be higher.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just great the fact that, because the bar was super low, mm-hmm. the fact that they made it to a 9 seed is just an achievement all in itself. Mm-hmm. I like the matchup against UNC. I don't know if I would pick them because I think UNC is – just a little bit better, but I do think it's going to be – I do think it would be a back-and-forth matchup.
Gotcha.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so how are you guys feeling regarding the men's tournament? Because I wanted to start here. How were you guys feeling when they went into that final commercial break and Michigan State was still not selected on the board? Because I went – here's the thing. I went into this tournament with no sweat. At all, because – so here's my argument, okay? Mm-hmm. Michigan State was at the time that the tournament was being selected, they were at, 24 or something in the net rankings, right? And the lowest team to get left out of the net rankings was at, 33. Now it's different.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a moment, how Indiana State absolutely should be in the tournament right now. Mm-hmm. But they're not. But Michigan State was 24, and I'm like, there's no way, because if they leave Michigan State out at a 24 on the net, there's no reason to use the net, at all. Like, it just makes it irrelevant. So there's no way. I thought that maybe they'd be like a 10 seed, like kind of like hanging on almost. But they ended up being a 9 seed, which, you know, is interesting. But I guess if some people would argue that it's what this team deserves to have to face a 1 seed if they actually end up, you know, beating Mississippi State, MSU versus MSU. But how were you guys feeling? Were you guys nervous at all about Michigan State not making it in the tournament?
I thought they got a higher seed than I thought they would. I thought they were going to be one of those play-in teams, yeah, like we would be playing tonight or yesterday, and we got to talk sooner or later about that Virginia game. But the I believe it was around the day I'm sorry, Saturday, the odds changed from us being a guaranteed team in the tournament to being one of the playing teams. And I believe Izzo, in his press conference right after Selection Sunday, he kind of talked about that. And as Selection Sunday was going on, when I saw one of those, like all the rest of the playing games, I thought we were going to miss it. I didn't think we were going to make it at all. Because I think we have definitely had a very disappointing season. I mean, we have 19 wins, and I think there's only one other team that has 19 wins that's in the tournament right now, and I believe that's St. Peter's, who's a 15 seed.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
but at the same time, wouldn't you say that, like, Michigan State has, like, even if they don't have the win total, they still have other things on their resume? Didn't they beat Baylor?
We beat Baylor.
Yeah.
Right, so that's, I mean, that's got to count for something.
It's got to count for something, but at the same time, we have pretty bad losses. Obviously, we lost
the Wisconsin loss, I think, was the big one.
Wisconsin loss was definitely a big one. I mean, our first game, we lost against James Madison.
Yeah.
I mean, James Madison is
a good team.
They're a good team, but, it's, you know, the home opener, we had such good expectations in the beginning, you know,
it's been disappointing.
It's definitely been disappointing.
I'm trying to find their quad one record, but...
Well, I was just going to mention real quick that I actually think that because... So I was thinking about it and how much I kind of hate bracketology. Like, I've grown to hate it. And I don't mean for this to be, like, a hot take or something.
Okay.
But, like, with bracketology, I mean, you saw, like, 2 months ago, people were painting Michigan State because their season was kind of not going so well.
Mm-hmm.
People were painting Michigan State as, like, a bubble team.
Yeah.
But their net ranking was still pretty relatively high.
Mm-hmm.
And so my problem with that is that, like, MSU, I don't think was ever a bubble team until that Wisconsin loss. Mm-hmm. I don't think that their postseason was ever in jeopardy until they lost to Wisconsin, because that was, like, I mean, in my opinion, that was, like, the loss.
That was, like, the switch.
Right. That was when their season was like, oh, shit, this team is actually kind of bad.
Looking at the quad one record, they're 3-9, and then in quad two, they're 6-5. You know, I think, and then they have that home loss against Iowa and the home loss against Ohio State. I think that...
Oh, maybe it was the Ohio State one that I'm talking about.
I mean...
Because isn't Wisconsin kind of a good team?
Wisconsin is, I believe, a 5 seed.
Yeah, but didn't Ohio State not make the tournament?
They did not
both red. That loss to Ohio State, correction, that's the one that I think really
on the buzzer beater.
When they lost to Ohio State, like, at the final second, that was the game where I was like, they might not make it.
The game where you kind of needed to win. Like, I mean, they just fired their head coach. You're at home. You know, I think they were on a little bit of a streak before that game.
That was also the Xavier Booker controversy, right?
I think that was his first start.
That was, like, his first start, and he started him and played him 17 minutes and didn't play
at all in the second half.
They were going through some offensive struggle, and you were like, why don't you just put him in?
Why don't you just put him in?
Like, it was an objectively odd call.
Yeah. I think Yeah,
and we discussed that at length.
That's what I think. It's just the fact that they're 3-9 in quad one wins. I mean, they lost to Duke, Arizona, Nebraska, Northwestern, Illinois, Wisconsin, and then both times Purdue. And then their only wins in the quad one are Baylor, Indiana State, and Illinois. So I just think that all that, it adds up in the selection committee, regardless of net. They do take that, I think they do take that into consideration.
The Indiana State thing is crazy. Like the fact that Indiana State wins their regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've only lost 3 games, but then they didn't win the tournament, the conference tournament, and they lose.
Yeah.
They're just out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
that's a pretty good season, right? To lose 3 games.
I don't think anybody expected Indiana State to be as good as they were this year. Not to my knowledge.
And like we were saying, so before I think it was in 2019, a team ranked 33 in the net got left out of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And this season, that number is now increased, or, well, technically decreased, the threshold. Because now it's 29. Indiana State was 29 in the net. And they get left out of the tournament, which does suck because it's kind of like when a team transitions to Division One and then they can't just play in the postseason for like 4 seasons.
Yeah,
you know, it's like even though you had a good season, it's still like we don't care. Obviously, this is much different form of robbery, you know, because you still feel like, you know, Indiana State can more deserving over a lot of high majors who, like, you know, I mean. I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, Virginia, for example, right? Like, we're just talking about this, right?
I mean, I would have had Indiana State over Virginia. I would have had St. John's over Virginia, you know, with Rick Pitino. I would have had Providence over Virginia. I mean, Virginia was ranked almost 200th in the country in offensive ranking. They are awful. Like, they're bad on offense. I mean, they have a guy in Ryan Dunn who is going to be a first-round pick in the NBA. You know, that's awesome for him. But it's definitely not because of his offense. It's because of his defense and his, you know, his defensive versatility.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they went almost 15 minutes from the 10-minute mark all the way to the 16-minute mark without a single point. From 10 minutes left in the first half, they had 14 points going into halftime. They didn't score again until 16 minutes
in the second half. That's horrible. That sounds horrible.
It's awful. Yeah. It was awful. I wish I could get my time back from watching it. Like, it was that bad.
I have a funny story from Selection Sunday, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like fell asleep on my couch accidentally at like 4 p.m. or something, maybe like 4:30. We'll say 4:30. Accidentally fell asleep and then woke up at like 6:30, 6:45 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, and for some reason, whenever I wake up from a nap, like my heart is just racing. So my heart's already racing, and then I'm like, oh my god, I forgot, like, Selection Sunday, like, I slept through it or whatever. So then I'm like trying to check Twitter and everything while I'm turning on the TV, and I'm not seeing anything about Michigan State, and I'm like I texted Thomas and Bella, and I'm like, if MSU, like, did MSU make it? If not, I send them a whole paragraph, like, if they didn't make it, you have to interview students, you have to try to go to the presser, everything like this, like, this will be a huge story, everything like that, right? Still finding nothing on Twitter or anything, and Google, everything like that. And then I like turn on CBS or whatever, and it just like wasn't our region yet, and I was like, thank god. And then I saw we're 9th seed, and I was like, I mean, it's like deserving, like, I don't know, it was just a not great season for us, and it makes sense why we're playing why we're 9th seed. And then I was just thinking, I was like, well, if we just say we win, you know, just say we beat Mississippi State, then we're playing UNC.
So that's the thing. I filled out my bracket this year, and I based a lot of my decisions on statistics. Mm-hmm. So just to give you a couple examples, for example, I think like 10 seeds are really, really, really smart to bet on a lot of the time. Yeah. Like if you kind of feel it,
I think they're the betting favorite. They've been the betting favorite the past couple years.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So there's a couple 10 seeds that. And I'm not going to, like, I'm obviously not going to, like, break down my entire bracket right now. I think I have, no, I don't have any 10 seeds winning, actually. The only one I have is Colorado State, which is ironic because they just played Virginia. And, like, I was wondering one of those teams would beat Texas. You know, but here's the thing. So with that said, I'm pretty sure that at least one 10 seed or not 10 seed, sorry, first four team, one first four team has gone on to the second weekend, like the last three seasons in a row or something like that. Like it's ridiculous. So I based my bracket on that, like those statistics and those continuing trends. Same thing with like 8 or 9 seeds. They're not very, don't bet on them.
Right.
Like if a 9 seed wins, even if a 9 seed wins their first game, 9% of the time they win their second game. You know, like because they got to play number 1. Mm-hmm, you know, so why would you bother with that? And then also 15 seeds are crazy. Because I can't remember the exact statistic, but 15 seeds have like if for some, like one 15 seed has won for the last like 3 or 4 years or something stupid. Like, so I have St. Peter's beating Tennessee. So, you know what I mean? Just like I use these these stats and these trends to do my bracket.
Yeah.
And so that's what I have here is I have Michigan State beating Mississippi State. Then I have them losing to North Carolina in the second round.
That's like a lot of people, I feel like. A lot of Michigan State fans, I feel like, have that.
Who's in your Final Four?
So yeah, you guys. If we want, we can go down the line. Yeah. And I also want to know before you say your Final Four, I want to know what you have also, or if you agree, if Michigan State even has a chance against North Carolina, because that's something I want to talk about too. Or even like for Mississippi State, like what's the odds? I mean, we don't have to get into that too much. Because that will be like this goes up on a Friday, you know, and they'll have already played.
Yeah.
But my Final Four is number 1 UConn.
Okay. Classic.
Number 2 Marquette. Okay. Okay. Number 3 Creighton and number 4 Alabama. I didn't mean to do that. That's how it worked out.
Okay.
Wow.
That's how it worked out. Wow. Yeah, I got Creighton beating Kansas.
I
almost want to see it.
Versus 4.
I want to see that happen.
And then Alabama, I have against Arizona, doing that.
Okay. And Alabama beating Arizona.
Alabama beating Arizona.
Okay.
And then UConn obviously will. Okay. You know. But you know what's funny is I have James Madison in the Elite Eight.
I have James Madison in my Final Four.
No way.
Yeah, seriously.
No way. Okay, yeah. I have James Madison losing to Marquette in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
And then I have UConn beating Creighton in the final.
So.
Okay.
I mean, for mine, I have UConn beating Illinois out of the East.
Okay.
I have North Carolina beating Arizona out of the West to go to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
I have Houston beating Colorado.
Okay.
In the South. I think Colorado is really good. You know, I think they're going to be that play-in team to make it to the second round.
That's actually, that's interesting. Because I was like, it was between them for me. It was between Florida and Texas. I wasn't looking at this as like which team I think will win. Mm-hmm. I think it's a which team will lose. Like that's how I was trying to go on.
Interesting.
You know, so I was like, which team is more likely to lose to the play-in team?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
And then anyway. For the Midwest, I have where is it? Sorry. I have Purdue losing to Tennessee.
There you go.
So okay. It's UConn, North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee. It's pretty – I mean, it's three number ones and a two, but I don't – I see a lot of – if there were to be upsets, they'd probably be in the first weekend. I don't see any kind of in the second weekend or any Cinderella-type things other than Colorado.
Yeah. I St. Peter's obviously always a good look on them. Did you have you filled out your bracket yet, PJ?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, so who you have in your?
So in my East section, I have UConn. Sorry, in my East section, I have UConn beating Illinois. Okay, and then okay. So okay, just stick with me here.
Okay, I feel like I'm about to judge you.
You are.
See it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I have Baylor beating Michigan State in the West region. Okay.
So you're saying Michigan State's gonna beat North Carolina? Mm-hmm. Then who do they beat in the Sweet 16?
St. Mary's, which is easy.
St. Mary's, you have beating Grand Canyon, and then having them beat who? Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they beat, and then, okay, so Michigan State beats Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, not Alabama, sorry.
St. Mary's.
Beats St. Mary's. Okay, and then in the Elite Eight, who do they beat?
Well, Baylor beats.
They beat, oh, Baylor, oh, beats, Baylor Michigan beats Michigan State.
Okay,
yeah. That makes sense. Got it.
So then in my north,
South
region.
South.
Here we go, South region. I have James Madison beating Marquette.
Okay. Man, this is like my B bracket that you're like listing off. Like, that's what I.
If you wanted upsets, just look at PJ's draft.
Right. And then in my Midwest region, I have Tennessee beating Kansas.
Got it. Okay.
So then my final four, it's UConn playing Baylor.
Got it.
And James Madison playing Tennessee. And I was going to pick Baylor in the finals, but instead I picked UConn beating Baylor in the semifinals, whatever. So I have Baylor beating Tennessee in the finals.
Wow.
Okay.
The bold.
Yeah, bold. But I love Baylor basketball.
I want to know also, like, where your one seeds fall off. Like, so, like, because I obviously went with only one seed making the final. Mm-hmm. And most of the teams that generally make the final four are one seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But so I have UConn making it into the final four. But Houston loses to James Madison in the Elite Eight on mine. Or not the Elite Eight, the
Sweet 16.
The Sweet 16 on mine.
Same.
And then I have North Carolina losing to Alabama in the Sweet 16 as well. And then I have Purdue also losing in the Sweet 16. I feel like that's too perfect. You know, all my number one seeds that don't make it lose in the Sweet 16. Purdue would lose to Kansas.
I have Purdue losing to Kansas also in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. And then I have I was the same as you. And then I have North Carolina losing to MSU.
Got it.
I mean, all I'm gonna say is you guys might have to change your brackets really quick because Kansas is without arguably their best player for the rest of
the... Well, that sucks.
And Hunter And then Hunter Dickinson hurt his, I believe, his shoulder.
Okay, real quick, I'll change it because I have McNeese.
And
I have them Gonzaga. Winning against Gonzaga.
I think there could be a possibility where it's Samford versus McNeese in the second round.
You think Samford is going to beat Kansas?
I think that's a real possibility.
Okay.
I do think that's a real possibility.
Fair. Yeah, because
Kansas is injured to hell.
So who do they have? McCuller? McCuller?
Whatever. McCuller. He's McCuller. Out for the year.
McCuller and Dickinson are their top players and they're out.
Dickinson, there's a possibility he could come back. But I mean, coming back with an injury, you know, and plus it's his I believe it's his left shoulder that he hurt, and I believe he is left-handed.
Damn.
Or left.
If I lose this, I'm gonna sue you. Just so you know.
You know what? I'm gonna change mine actually right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying to change it. I'm just saying
I'm picking Samford now. Who should beat? Now this like screws up my whole bracket. Now who wins against McNeese and Samford? I don't know.
I don't know.
McNeese. I'm, McNeese 100%.
McNeese probably has a funnier name, so I'll pick McNeese.
And then that changes actually my entire thing because now I have Purdue going to the Final Four.
Oh, no. I put McNeese beating Purdue in the.
You think so? Yeah. You think McNeese will beat Purdue?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would go that far.
I don't know that I would go that far either.
Well,
that's pretty bold.
I kind of
respect
it's madness.
Yeah, I like it, but
I can't. Okay. Well, now I have Purdue in the Final Four and losing to UConn in the championship game.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
you've just adjusted my whole bracket for me.
I mean,
I'm not gonna. Yeah. Maybe I should redo this because one team, one selection can change so much.
You could just make another one.
I could. That's true. That's the beauty of the internet.
Yeah.
So Mississippi State, Michigan State plays Mississippi mm-hmm. State, right? So do we think that Michigan State has a chance? Like, run down, like, Mississippi State, everything. The viewers aren't going to care because the game's already over.
Yeah. Exactly. I think, so Mississippi State's leading scorer is a freshman, Josh Hubbard. He's scoring 17 points per game. And then Tolu Smith, who's a senior forward, is averaging 15 points a game, but he's missed time. He's only played 22 games this year. You know, I think those two are obviously the key players for Mississippi State. And then also you can't overlook Cameron Matthews. He's averaging almost 10 points, 7 rebounds, and he's leading Mississippi State in assists with 3. I know that's not very much, but still leading in assists, and he's shooting 62% from the field. So, but the one thing, if you're Michigan State, Mississippi State is horrendous at shooting the three. They're shooting 32.5% from three, and they're not a very good free throw shooting team, only shooting 67% from the free throw line. So if you're Michigan State defensively, just let them shoot all day. Make them prove to you that you have to step out and defend the three, and you just got to be able to protect the paint. And even if, you know, you get calls fouled, it's not the end of the world because only shooting 67% from free throw line. So, you know, I think if you're Izzo, you can take advantage of that. You can find a way to take advantage of that.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So just keep in mind though too, and I guess this would bode well for Michigan State, that only 65% of the time in the last 5 tournaments, just put it this way, 13 out of the last 20 games between number 9 seeds and 8 seeds have been won by 9 seeds in the last 5 years. So, okay. In the last 5 tournaments. Mm-hmm. So, I guess Michigan State has the upper hand, the 65%, you know, 3 more than half, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, statistically speaking, they do have a solid advantage. And then North Carolina. Do you think, I mean, it's in North Carolina. What are we thinking?
Yeah, so, I mean, according to my bracket.
Our
brackets. But,
no, it'll be really hard. It'll be really hard for MSU to beat North Carolina, especially when UNC has home court advantage. I just think they're better offensively.
I mean, what can we say that probably already hasn't been said, yeah. like around campus? I mean, yeah. North Carolina has the best player in the ACC in RJ Davis, who I believe scored, I think, over 20 points per game this year. And then they also have the best big man in the ACC with Armando Bacot, who's been there. I believe this is his 5th year. And I think UNC is out for some type of vengeance or revenge for how last year went. You know, they were really disappointing. You know, they didn't even make the tournament last year. And I think they're going to be coming with a purpose. I think they're going to be the most driven team, I think, more than Purdue. Because I know Purdue, they lost to the 16 seed last year. But North Carolina, they were the number one seed going into last year. You know, they had that returning team of RJ Davis, Baycott, and then they had Caleb Love, who's over at Arizona right now. But, you know, they didn't even make the tournament, and now they're one seed this year. So I think they're going to be driven. I think Hubert Davis, their head coach, has got something to prove. I think UNC, I have UNC winning the entire thing.
Got it. Wow. So so now we're going to switch gears a little bit to women's basketball. So not too far away, you know, they're playing. They're not playing too far away, is Michigan State. They're playing North Carolina, though. number nine also versus number eight, North Carolina. I don't know too much about women's basketball, but if I do know this, if Michigan State does win against North Carolina, it doesn't look too good, because then likely they have to play South Carolina, pending a total collapse.
Right.
So that doesn't look too good.
No.
So we're looking at probably what, like an early exit? Not to say that the MSU is bad, but just because just they
South
have
Carolina is unstoppable. Brutal,
they have a brutal matchup coming up if they win.
Yeah, because it's in South Carolina.
Against
an undefeated team.
Right. So here's the thing. So North Carolina, what are we vibing? Like, what are we thinking, that MSU stands a chance? What's the deal?
I think we can come away with the win on that. You know, I think obviously Julia and Dee Dee, I think they're probably going to be the players to watch for MSU. Dee Dee shooting great from three. She's going to have to keep doing that to beat North Carolina, obviously. I mean, she's shooting 41% from the three-point line, and then Julia is our leading scorer with 15. I'm trying to pull up North Carolina's stats. They only have three players in double figures in terms of points, whereas MSU has four, and then also Tori is averaging almost 10 points per game, so I'm going to count that as five. Because it's 9.8, but I'm counting it as 10. So obviously, like, we have more who can go out and get a bucket. You know, whereas North Carolina, they don't have as much.
Got it.
So I think we can win that. I think we can win that game.
Mm-hmm. And wow, that's that seems like good news. Do you think it'd be a problem for MSU to, like, I mean, it both. First of all, we know that home court advantage is going to, you know, go towards North Carolina in the men's side. But even though Michigan State, I mean, wouldn't you think that if you're a North Carolina fan and you think that your team has a chance against MSU, right? And then if they win, they're likely playing South Carolina. You would think that the fan base would want to show up, right? So do you think that maybe the North Carolina fan base is going to travel and that have an impact on this game?
Probably.
I think so, yeah. Michigan State fans, we obviously know. I think they travel pretty well. You know, I think Michigan State fans are probably going to show up in a large amount to support the women's basketball team.
And well, especially, I guess, if you – well, because it's in the same vicinity, too, so that might help MSU fans because they can kind of catch both. I mean, I know if you're a reporter, these games are only an hour and a half away from each other.
Yeah. SSR is – they're going to both.
So that's the thing. Like, you're obviously able to cover both, right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a challenge. Obviously, we're playing in – where is it? South Carolina?
Yeah. So the women's team is playing in South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously North Carolina, and then we would play against South Carolina. I think it's definitely going to be a challenge, but, you know, I think it's going to be a hard fought match. I'll just put it at that regarding.
I think it's going to be back and forth for most of the game, if not the entire game.
Gotcha. So so that's the end of this episode. But first, we're going to leave off with trivia. trivia time. I asked this to Maddie and Emily at the beginning and the middle, and they had no idea. But they are hockey gals, so, you know, you guys might have a little bit better of a time with this, okay? So, I don't know how I'm going to award points to this if you get it right, but if you get it right, maybe that might be cool. So I might keep track.
Hoping for a new car.
Right. So here's the question, as we're going to remind viewers. In 2021, UCLA was the second school to make it into the Final Four after starting the NCAA tournament in the first four. UCLA, as you might remember, defeated Michigan State in its first game in the first four and went on to lose to Gonzaga in the semifinal. Who was the first team to go from first four to final four?
Can I get a...
You should play the Jeopardy.
Can I get a year, like...
What year?
Like, not even year, just like 10 year, decade, maybe.
Decade. So that's hard because the first four only began in 2011.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I can tell you that it was in 2011.
Is it VCU?
I'm going to say... I'm on the Baylor train today, so I'm going to say Baylor.
Okay, got it. Those are your final answers?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was VCU.
It was?
It was VCU.
I knew it. I knew there was like some type of... I knew VCU had a Cinderella story like in the early 2010s.
Yes, the answer was VCU. Who did they beat? I'm just pulling it up. So they beat USC 59-46 as an 11 seed in the first four held in Dayton, Ohio. And then VCU got placed into the Southwest Regional in Texas and ended up, technically, I think it was in Denver, the one that they were in. Mm-hmm. So they beat Georgetown number six. Sorry, my vision's off. So they beat Georgetown number six. They beat number three Purdue in the second round, and then in the next round they beat number 10 Florida State, and then they went on to beat number 1 Kansas, and they went to the Final Four, and I think they lost. They lost to Butler.
That's where I remember.
And
it from.
So they lost to Butler, who in turn lost to UConn.
Yep.
And UConn won the national championship.
I remember that. Yeah.
So yeah. So it was VCU, and it was crazy because it was in the very first year that the first four was in existence.
Yep.
Wow.
So the more you know.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Where's my car?
Yeah, exactly. Once you get enough points, I'll give you a car.
Okay.
I'll give you a car. Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining the Sports Roundtable from the State News. As always, my name is Brad. This has been Luke and PJ. We'll see you guys in the next one.
See ya.